friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
With this holiday season, I am feeling exceptionally grateful to those who serve their community. EMTs, firefighters, police officers, ER nurses, doctors, and their support staff spend their lives answering calls while the rest of us are home with family celebrating the holiday. These people show up for strangers in crisis. What makes our guest story even more powerful is that they've served this community together, putting our needs before their own. Today, I'm honored and grateful to have them share their story.
Now we have, like, now we're building a family. So now we have a child in the mix. And so there was a lot of, like, we wanted, for me, like, we always wanted us to have a happy relationship. And so we would, I would do my best to maintain that. But also knowing that, so he worked 48-hour shifts. Mm-hmm. I worked 12-hour mm-hmm. shifts. So pre-kids, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Because
you could coordinate
he would
it
work,
together.
I would work, like, you sleep, I'm going to go do this, but.
And you still had time together, but
yes,
now you have to divide so that you can
and
divide
was
and conquer.
After my first year yeah. out, and so it was just like, it's just a hard time, yeah. but we didn't have kids at that point. So it was just like, great, go to the gym, do what you need to do. We'll meet up. We'll go to dinner. Like, just
mm-hmm. yeah,
time. But it was definitely, like, after we had our first daughter, that's where, like, difficult came in. Because we didn't realize it at first. And maybe I didn't realize he would get off 48-hour shifts. And I would have to be at work.
Yeah.
So he's coming off of shift.
Mm-hmm. And 48
hours,
tired.
Who knows if he slept.
Yeah.
And then coming home and I have to be at work for 12 hours. Here's our child.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
When he's coming off of 48 hours of trauma.
And there's mm-hmm. and there's
emotional
no time to do
trauma.
Any. Yeah.
There was no decompression. There was.
Yeah.
And right.
So
and just
this
to,
is
and physically exhausted.
Yeah. So
yes.
this was like a
yeah.
very big hardship.
And there's not. Yeah. A, there's yeah. not. There's not like enough funds in the marriage at this point because when you're young adults and you're doing all this stuff, you're like, there's not enough money to be like, okay, we're going to have someone come in for 6 hours so dad can get a 4-hour power nap and a 2-hour decompression. You know, there's no funds in the system
no.
to allow.
Well, it also seems like the perfect scenario, right? Like
yeah,
you
exactly.
work, you have all this time and then you work and then you just trade the kids off.
It
sounds
so,
great,
so
but it's really not.
The reality hits and
yeah.
it doesn't work.
And the things where you're like, oh, well, the baby will go down for a nap and I can just get 2 hours of sleep during
yeah.
that time. No,
but then they're
because
teething.
They're teething and then yeah. guess what? Yeah. You got to pick up all the messes and you yeah. got to make that appointment and then you have to like, no, you maybe get a half an hour of them like drooling on you. Yeah.
Yeah. Sheer exhaustion. I mean, it was literally like high fives in the
mm-hmm.
hallway.
You
actually,
where I'd pick her up at the neighbor's
yes.
house.
Absolutely.
Because there was like a half hour, yeah. like, I have to be at work.
Yeah.
Here.
So it wasn't even a high five. It was two ships passing.
Pretty much. We had this amazing neighbor in Colorado that mm-hmm. she had just lost her husband. So when I went back to work.
Blessing. You know, it was
a
reason.
It was, but it was this like weird, I have to be at work. So what do we do with our child? Because we didn't want to do daycare because, yeah, money mm-hmm. was an issue.
Yeah.
With our schedules, we didn't have to do daycare.
Yeah.
But still trying to figure that out. So, yeah, I would literally take her in her car seat across the street and she would still be sleeping. Hopefully, like I would pray, like, sit her like in the living room with. Our neighbor and she would just kind of lay on the couch and our daughter would be in the car seat and then he would come home and pick her up
and hope she'd still be asleep.
So it was just sheer exhaustion because we're
yeah,
parents.
Yeah.
How long did that stage of your relationship last?
5 years. Where
okay,
I was
that's
a nurse
good. Okay, that's huge. So
yeah,
you weren't doing your learning on the job learning.
Right. No, we had 5 years. So. After we had our first, then we were able to kind of figure out it's not right to have him have our daughter the first day he gets off.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
So, no, I don't work that first day.
Yeah.
You know, it was just like trying to figure out our schedules.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But anytime we had, neither of our parents lived in Colorado. And so it was anytime one of the parents came to visit,
yeah,
it was, well, maybe I can take an extra shift or I can work,
mm-hmm,
when
make
they're
some
here.
Christmas money, so, make some savings money. Like, oh,
was
yeah,
your brother
money.
Yeah. still in Colorado?
Was that?
Was your brother still in Colorado?
At this time,
no.
No.
He
was he okay. moved back to Chicago and now lives in Seattle.
Now, did the house that you had purchased, was it a good, like, starter home for your family? So was that working out? You didn't, did you guys have to do a lot of moving and stuff like that? Or
is this like a 5-hour podcast?
A story there.
Right, so before we had our daughter, we had moved to a different house.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we weren't in the starter home anymore. And this was an older home.
No,
and
so you guys were like, we'll just fix it up.
Well,
our first home was a brand new.
Brand new home. And okay, for some reason, we decided to move to an old house. It was a much better neighborhood.
Probably a much better neighborhood for the
house. That was me wanting a house in like an established.
Bigger trees.
That makes sense.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I miss big trees.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that so, It was a great house to start with. We did a quick remodel of one room before our daughter was born.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of a rush, but now we had a little more space.
Yeah.
And I did all the work.
Nice.
Or we'd hired a contractor to do some of the stuff, but I did quite a bit of the work. And then about 6 months after Mackenzie was born, we had a flood. And it destroyed two basement bedrooms, the whole basement from the sprinkler system. And then when they came, because it was an older home, to kind of do some restoration, they test for asbestos. So we had asbestos in the house.
Goodness. Oh, no. And so they were like, by the way, you have knot and tube wiring, so you're going to have to remodel this, and you're going to have to do this, and you're going to have to do that.
And so they found, because of the flood damage, it was actually a leak from outside the sprinkler system, but it had cracked the foundation and broke a block of the foundation inside. So now it was a structural issue.
And how much of this did asbestos insurance cover?
Zero. After a year of fighting, they covered zero.
Yeah.
Over and over, it was overtime to get cash. Whatever our tax refund was that year, patched this, patched that.
Yeah.
All with a baby.
Grandparents are in town picking up an extra ship to cover that.
Yeah.
Ooh, this is a sexy, like, sprinkler system thing.
So much money into things that you couldn't even see, like sewer pipes.
Sewer line collapse the following year. Yeah, things you would never know buying a home.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so,
And this was before now, like, they always make you do, like, in a lot of places, they require a sewer line inspection before you buy the home. That this is before that.
Oh, we did all that.
Things were missed.
An older house. We understood the moving soils in Colorado. They're everywhere. So a lot of the work, again, I couldn't hire a foundation company for $50,000 to repair. So I.
So in your free time, you guys
did
learned
the work.
I learned how to do it.
Yeah.
Rented an excavator. I'm handy. Okay. I had fire friends who knew stuff.
That's one great thing about firefighters I've noticed is they like their family and they like come in and they're like, okay,
you
so
just
like
buy beer and pizza.
And just know that next weekend he may be gone for six hours next weekend. And but then that's always nice too, because like he'll be gone, but a lot of the time you can just like in the fire family, they're just like, well, that's okay. We can bring the baby because there'll be one mom watching all the babies while all the guys are fixing the house.
Right. Yeah. No, he always had somebody for something.
Those friends work on their house. And so we did tons of, over the life of this house, having the kids there, tons of renovations.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It seemed like all of our money was going into this house.
Oh, and at the same time. Yeah. Yeah, but still not having grandparents there. So they would fly, you know, one would fly in, stay a week. They'd fly out 3 days later. The other would fly in.
Oh, that's
stay a
so
week.
Nice. I mean, it's nice to have the support.
It was very nice to have the support.
You guys probably, so once again, how do you guys find time for your connection?
It was very hectic.
It was very hard on
because
well, you get people telling you how to do things.
We ran up at breakfast for well over
You ran a bed and breakfast?
No, between the parents.
Oh, yeah.
Between,
sorry.
Between all the visitors.
Well, and then also you have, you know, you two bonded on being outdoorsy together, being active together. But then you have this life that's just hitting you over the head with knocking you on your ass exhausted, no time. Yeah. So then, like, how do you do that? And then also you've gotten to the point where you're just like, you know, you feel like you're just dumping on each other. So then you're starting to go into your little
thing. I kind of want to know with your parents being there, because parents have a tendency to be parents. Mm-hmm. Did you find that aspect of them being in your lives, like, because they want to give you advice and tell you how to do things? And I mean, sometimes that happens and sometimes that doesn't. Like, there's some parents that are respectful. I don't want to say that the ones that are giving advice aren't respectful, but it can be a strain. It can be hard.
It was difficult.
Giving advice and being assistant is different.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. And I think one thing we could have done better is we didn't establish boundaries early.
Yeah.
And they didn't know where the boundaries were. And they was out of love. They all wanted to.
Yeah.
And all understand that. At times, you know, in my experience, I would come home exhausted, beat up, just want to see my daughter.
Yes.
Yeah. Or my wife. And I can't.
Yeah.
And it would be over and over and over again to where, like, I'd park in the driveway and sit in the car for a little while. Like,
and decompress.
I don't even want to be here right now. I just left the firehouse. I didn't want to be there. Where can I go for me?
Well,
and it turned into a problem for a little while. And
I can see that.
And vice versa. We obviously worked tons through that, but I didn't have, at that time,
sanctuary.
Yeah, my safe space.
Mm-hmm.
It was always, I need this, I need that.
And then they were helping you too. So then it's like, okay, well, I also have a responsibility. So like,
to be grateful.
To be grateful.
And you are grateful.
And you are. But when you're just like, when you're so beyond, you're just like, and of course, let's be honest, when you're in those situations, your kids are going to get the best of you. And like, and your partner knows. And like, there's this like agreement between the parent, the kids are going to get the best, you know? And so it's sort of like, you know, not that you're not saving some for your partner, but when you're already working in a deficit, it's so hard to like, to try to dig into that, because the thing that brought you together is the fact that you can fill each other up, but it's so hard to find that it's hard to find that 5% of energy it takes to tap the root.
Yeah.
To get the flow.
Right.
Correct.
You know, so it's like, it's hard to get past that initial investment to get the funnels running in both of you to where you do build that energy.
Right.
I'm guessing that you had a moment of like standing outside of what was going on and understanding like to have a healthy relationship and to, you know, raise our children in a way we want to. This is what's going to have to happen. We're going to shift some things. We're going to talk to each other in a different way.
So how did you come about that process?
There was, ironically, there was a moment, the fire department had noticed a trend at that particular time. There were 7 divorces going on at one time.
Oh,
that's huge.
That's really huge.
And so they brought in a therapy, but they had like a dinner, marriage counselor to come in, do a thing. So, you know, they did a big dinner.
That's
and
huge.
Anyone can go. Yeah, it was really, really nice. And we decided, you know, maybe we can do this.
That's so cool.
Went.
And you guys were
cool
open and receptive. That's so cool.
We were. And then.
I love you.
Right at the same time, I was working an overtime shift and came in, and I would. Firehouse humor is fun and different and special kind of humor. I went in and just saying hi to everybody there and giving each other a little hard time here and there. And I had somehow, somebody asked me, you know, how's life? How's your wife? How's kid, you know, something.
Crying?
No, I made a joke, and I honestly don't remember the joke that I made, but it resonated with my lieutenant that day and it triggered something.
Mm-hmm.
And so later in the office, later, you know, we go back reading, we're doing our work, running calls, and he called me in his office later. He's like, what's going on at home? And so, talked to them for a little bit. Just, you know, venting stress. Probably fixing a suicide at that point in time, right?
Or
but he recommended a book. And he had gone through a divorce 6 months prior, a year prior. Mm. And so whatever resonated, he recommended this book that we should read. And so I did and gave it to Casey and we read it. And that kind of sparked this thing.
What was this book?
Yeah, you two are awesome.
Love and respect.
Love and respect.
Women want love.
Mm-hmm. And what that looks like. Mm-hmm. That's kind of nice that it actually like.
And it was just talking about like the cycles that I think him and his wife had gone through or something. Mm-hmm. Okay. And it was like, yes, this is us. That. Like, this is our marriage. It's like, it's good. And then it's not. And then it's like, it just keeps cycling. But ultimately, I think we both ended up reading it.
We both read twice. Yeah. And it was just a simple thing. And that clicked.
Simple.
And brought us back to where.
I'm so grateful that he was listening. Like, really listening.
Yeah, how
that's. Yeah. That just goes to tell you the family and community that you have. Like, you guys have this incredible, like, parent community. And then you've also had a loving.
Yeah.
Community.
Incredibly supportive.
Oh, I think sometimes when you're in something, you can't see what you're in.
Oh, 100%.
You know, and you do need.
Especially where you guys were at. I mean, it's just so not enough time to even think about where you were at and how you were feeling. Even all you knew that you were feeling bad.
Right.
Well, and then with all the intensity and like you guys don't strike me as people who are going to let yourself just break. I'm like, oh, okay. Aliens invasion comes down. Guess who's going to be like, okay, guys, it's an alien invasion.
I'm going to their house.
What do you need to do? Okay, let's triage this. Seriously, I love people like my husband. I'm like, triage me. I'm in charge of chopping this. I can chop this.
Mm-hmm. I have another question about, and just simply this is from my brother's perspective on raising children. He is every possible wrong thing that could happen to a child is what he thinks is going to happen to his. And so that's another hump that he and his wife have to, you know, get through because it's very hard to let their son be a child because he visualizes every single wrong thing that could possibly happen.
Everybody's worst moments.
Yes. No, that's exactly true.
And so how do you guys deal with that for parenting?
Right, she thought her middle name was careful for the first
years. <of
life. laughs> I mean, we were definitely those.
We were kind of the face.
Yeah.
Because of the traumas.
Yes.
It traumatizes you.
We still say to this day, we're sorry that we are this way, but your dad being paramedic and me being ER, we have seen so much that we don't want you girls to experience that.
Mm-hmm. You're
so
like
there's a reason. Huge with seatbelts and car seats.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you ever think you're going to go on a crotch rocket, no.
Nope. Exactly.
Yes.
No, that's very true. And then, we ended up kind of fast forwarding a little bit. That's part of the reason I got out of the fire service.
Mm-hmm.
We moved up here. Actually, I had a brother that moved here first.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a doctor up here. And then we came up to visit, and he and his partner at the time, in his office, interviewed Casey.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you moved out of ER nursing then?
I did, yeah. So his brother is very good at talking about it. Him and his wife had moved up here, and he had said, hey, I'm looking for a nurse to come start this program. I mean, I remember getting his first text message. We were on our way home from a camping trip. We were with our neighbors. They had gone camping with us. And we're towing our pop-up camper.
It was a
beautiful weekend, and he texts like, hey, do you want to come be the why would we move to Idaho?
Yeah, what is where is that?
You
guys were so sunk because guys were going to
town.
Colorado, come on, it's beautiful.
It is.
Yeah.
But like
we were
the job opportunity really, like, without super crazy stressiness and
stability. Yeah, we were both burnt out, and it was like, if we continue on this path, what is going to happen to us and to our family?
Yeah.
Because at this point, we are so both burnt out mentally, physically, emotionally.
Yeah, you can't do it.
We're
forever.
Just not even talking. He doesn't even ask me about my day, or I don't ask him because we know the trauma. He would keep things from me because he because now there's children.
Yeah.
Or,
well, my brother, they had a therapist come into their fire department, and she described it as you have a freezer, and you are so busy that you just take all that stuff and throw it in the freezer. You're throwing it in the freezer, but there is never any time to come unpack it, think about it, deal with it. Then you can move on. So there's a time when that freezer gets so full. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, there's, and you've got already have like 10 freezers that are full. And, you know, it just becomes too much. So there's, mm-hmm. it sounds to me like that's became for that both of you.
Too much.
Too much. Yeah, well, you had no freezer space left.
Do they encourage therapy? Do they build that into
I'm like,
the
please,
they do
please,
apartments?
Please.
Okay. It's relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
When I left in 2017, we had what's called peer support groups.
Okay.
And they do great, but it's
well, there's a place for that.
There's a place for absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Some firefighters were on that team, and it was your buddy. It was mm-hmm. someone you knew, someone from another house or another shift. They would bring in on a couple really traumatic calls. The department had a therapist on retainer mm-hmm. that they mm-hmm. would bring in. At that particular time, it was still in the, you know, infant stages of it. Yeah. I was on a terrible call one time where they actually did.
Bring someone in to help you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he didn't do a great job, unfortunately. Like, our perception of it wasn't great.
Yeah.
They were going to send us all home. Which was, we needed to go home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's days when you're just like, no, I can't shake this off. And
yeah.
It's not the
time. Which this was like towards the end of like us.
Yeah. I think we stayed a couple more years. So this was, you know, and so they brought a therapist in, but then they brought another oncoming crew to fill all of our seats.
That's
as we did a debriefing. Yeah. And the intent behind it was fantastic. There was a little downside as they brought the other crews in and they got to sit in on the debriefing. Maybe not the best idea.
Not to showcase you. Like, they should have let you guys have your moment.
Sure. And not blaming the department. Well,
no,
fantastic.
They're trying to.
Well, it sounds like it was a new thing. So it's kind of like trying to work out the kinks.
A lot of departments are recognizing it now.
If they can say, okay, we'll have them see how it's happening so they can gain from it. So I totally respect, like, how could we stretch this and get more out of it? That they didn't realize they were diminishing for the people who were experiencing.
Sure.
Yeah.
And that's a learning process.
It was. Yeah. And it's gotten much, much better now. I mean, the department I used to work for has, they have psychologists on staff now.
That's,
and they do an amazing job, it sounds like, on doing all this. Yeah. So that, you know, it takes several years to get through anything like that. But in the end, we decided to move here and left the fire service. Missed it so much, but when we moved here, it was in the spring because it rained every day for 6 weeks.
When you moved here,
you picked the worst time.
Season is
worst possible
awful here.
Time to move out.
Yeah,
we learned that.
Which I came and I'm starting this.
She brought
job.
The girls,
and they're like, "It always rains here."
And then he is just left the fire.
I just left.
Like, huge. That was our family.
Yeah.
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 And it's,
yeah.
and
that's
so,
kind of
so
a grieving
coming
process
to this area,
to,
at least you've had family change. Here. You had family here.
His brother.
We had my
Your brother.
Brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was the only family we had here.
Yeah.
But they were working together and they were always working.
Yeah. So you were kind of odd man out a little bit. How did you feel? Is this when you started kinesiology school and studying?
No.
Kinesiology.
No, that was way back.
It was way back.
I was in college.
Okay.
So yeah. I came out here and decided I'll just be a handyman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's great.
Stuff like, you know, some handyman work.
Absolutely.
Didn't work out very well.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was just moved to another job. I moved to another job.
Mm-hmm.
Making friends. Not, like, really struggling.
It's hard.
When did you guys move here? Yeah. What year?
2017.
Okay.
So these, it is
I
a little hard.
I have been taught, I've been, like, because just moving an hour away from where I had been for 13 years, I'm like, gosh, what is so different? Because when I lived here 15 years ago, like,
it was easy
made
to
a lot of
friends.
And it was just very different. And then this time around, I'm like, what is so different?
And I moved to Spokane.
But
same thing.
I was thinking about it. And I'm like, you know, back when I moved, like, social media was, it existed, but it wasn't like it is now. And I'm like, I think that's the difference, how people are like not connecting the way they were like even 15 years ago. Cause I'm like, I'm the same person.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of one of the odd man out where I've like stayed off of social media through all of this. And I'm kind of an anti-social media advocate. But I think that like they set these algorithms out and people are getting fed the same crap over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And they start to think one way and they stop being able to think critically and they disconnect from other people and they start hating each other. And I'm like, oh, that's why like it's harder to connect and make friends.
I think like,
just in that time frame. I'm like, that's the difference. Like to me, I think I'm seeing. I don't know.
But also Darren's came from a like this job. Like I was talking about, you have that adrenaline rush. It's a family. It's an adrenaline rush. And then it's so hard to find another job that gives you a lot.
The same people.
Yes, that's because true, like kind of a little bit more of a transient group with construction as opposed to we are family to the point where we're family where I'll help you with your sewer line and you'll go over and help me, build a fence. And, you know, like go from.
But Casey, you are establishing a friendships through your work. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was kind of happening.
Yeah, a little bit. So it was like we moved up here for this position for me and to be with family. And my brother was in Seattle. And so it was
absolutely made sense.
But it was like, oh my God, like I have to hold on to this because I'm holding this family together.
Yeah.
Financially right now until he figures
out
what he's doing.
So that's another, a new type of stress in the relationship.
Totally.
So especially because you guys thought you were coming here to get through. Oh gosh. You guys love each other. You made it through this.
We came here for an easier pace of life.
And it wasn't at first.
Oh, not at all. It was twice as hard and twice as busy.
And you felt, was there also the sense of, what, we left something to come here for this? Yeah. I'm so excited for how you got through it.
I feel like, there was a lot of, you made us move up. Was excited about it. I was excited about somewhere new. This place is beautiful. So there's something in me that it was like, God, this place is so beautiful. But for so many years, he was like ready to go back. Let's go back to Denver.
I get it.
I'm not finding it here. Mm-hmm. Whereas I was like trying to, again, financially like hold us together and hold together like the program that I was putting together. So a ton of weight on my shoulders.
Yeah. I agree. I definitely played the blame game.
But knowing that I took him because it was an agreed upon, he thought he was ready to leave the fire department and in turn was not, or it was finding that being able to transition from that camaraderie, having that in the firehouse and then coming to not. And so it was a lot of me being very guilty that he was taken from that. And so I dealt with that for a long time.
There's lots of war vets who are like, why do you keep signing up for another? Why do you keep signing up to go back in? And it's because I have gotten to the point where I don't know how to function without it.
Right.
But I know it's killing me. I know I'm going to end up dead on a stretcher one of these days if I don't stop it. But I don't know how to do it differently. You've been adrenal fatiguing forever. Mm-hmm. And how do you recover from that?
Yeah, it's been a long process.
And no, that's very true. There were a lot of struggles. I wanted to go back. I ended up, I realized at one point, like, I just couldn't be happy here knowing it's beautiful. There's so much here.
Yeah.
I just wasn't grasping it because I needed that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
My fire family. And so, ironically, I would still get emails from, you know, fire companies and stuff like that.
Yes.
One had a PTSD quiz. I was bored. I did nothing. I'm like, okay, well, let me see.
Yes.
And I hit
Eureka.
Every mark on it.
Mm-hmm. So we were like.
And you don't realize, right?
All this time.
No. And
Yeah.
And I had, I can't tell how many dozens of patients, war vets that had it, treated them. Tons of people. Patients and I never looked in the mirror. and it was me. Yeah. Right. So, yeah. So, realized that and then kind of reached out, saw a therapist for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Did EMDR.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yeah,
yes.
It's incredible. It's
so I've had PTSD, and, mm-hmm. and so my husband has been patient with me going through that process too. So
yeah,
it's amazing. It is a process.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, so I saw her for that and several months and thought, okay, I'm cured. I'm back. And then a month or two went by and called her back up and said, no, yeah. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
So let's do some more rounds.
It's a process.
It brings up some other stuff.
It does. And that's one of the things that people like, especially when you have compounded PTSD, like they, when you're going through it and stuff like that too, people, they're like, you have to understand that it's layers. It's layers, and yes. these things are going to bring some other things to the surface, and you right. have to go through that.
Sometimes it's harder before it gets
absolutely.
It's worse before it gets
better.
It was
Pandora's box when we started.
Absolutely. And so
yeah.
you spouses who you're beautiful, lovely, amazing human beings. And if you need a support group, you can call my husband. Sainthood is not too far from like.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it yep. was.
But it opened both of our eyes to something new.
Absolutely.
After getting treatment and healing from that to where, I could work a normal job and be okay with it. And ironically, I realized I wanted to get back with fire. So I actually started working out again and testing
nice.
To do it again.
That's great.
And tested with a few local places. Never made it on.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's about a year ago. Started having more pain in my foot again from the 2 years
absolutely
later.
And now you're like yeah
I and know. I'm wearing it out so I go see a surgeon. I was told years ago that at some point you're gonna have so much arthritis and pain we're just gonna take the other toes off, we'll be fine. So I went to a surgeon saying hey let's take these off. I'm okay. training in to do fireman again, let's go.
Yeah.
And he said it's not that simple.
Okay. You're like well let's make it simple, tell me what
we need to do. So it's been 7 months now at a transmetatarsal amputation. So half of my foot, the three remaining toes, and then about 2 inches behind those because the bones were starting to degrade and just the damage of everything that had occurred over time.
Yeah.
Pain, but the tissue active over the years. So yeah. So now I have elected. Okay. Well, that's,
that just changed my balance. That just changes. Gonna like my
gait. Yeah. So I decided
I'm going to have to go
let's
through.
Let's do that. Mm-hmm. Understanding and accepting, okay, my fire career is done now.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with that. But it was that closure that I needed. Yeah. So plan A was we'll do that. Plan B, if I don't listen to the doc, was a below the knee amputation.
Yep.
If this didn't take.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's working right now. Happy about that.
You have God. Very intelligent, beautiful nurse of mine who is going to make sure that
she's
like,
she's
excellent and my nurse at home. Yeah, incredible. And so, but what that led to is so much better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. And so now, I mean, since, I'll back up a little bit because I kind of stole the spotlight from Casey here, but, since she was working in a surgical office for a little while, she left there. It wasn't for her anymore. And she's just always so passionate about things that I want to go be a nurse coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you talk about that.
Well, so back up even before then, he got us on the path of, I don't know if you were already doing therapy, but you had brought up starting to meditate. So we started watching, I don't remember what it was called, something on the TV. The girls would go to bed. We would watch something on Netflix.
It's like a Calm app or something.
It was something.
Oh, that's really kind of cool. Yeah, we need to take notes.
It would
send
be
us
like
the links.
This, it would be like this information thing. And then at the end of the episode, you would meditate.
Oh, and
like
it would walk you through a meditation?
He would walk you through. It was like
that's
this.
Wonderful. So you
it was
learn.
Like a, or something. And so then I would be laying on the couch and he'd be on the floor or whatever. So I don't even know what got you into like talking about meditation, but that I think was like a huge pivotal moment for us. Yeah. And that was over 4 years ago because we started that journey and then we were doing that just the girls will go to sleep. But then I found something online. I was like, hey, this is like a 2-week course. I just buy it because it was a few hundred bucks. I was like, mm-hmm. if I just buy it, then we can both listen to it. And it was for 2 weeks, right? Yeah. So for 2 weeks, let's listen to this meditation. And it's ultimately about like learning to meditate on your own and not having like guided meditation, like to sit there by yourself and meditate. So we did it for 2 weeks and then it just kept going and kept going. I can say for myself, it's been over 4 years and it's the first thing that we both do when we wake up is we meditate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
I
great.
I meditate in my spot. He meditates in his spot. And so that was kind of a pivotal moment. Then I started doing yoga and it was actually at CDA Power Yoga.
Yeah.
That just listening to the teachers there, just how empowering their words were and inspiring. I would leave there thinking, wow, that was incredible. And they just lifted me up through this beautiful yoga session on the mat, right? And I just left there feeling so like limitless and just like powerful and empowered. And so at that point, I was thinking, okay, I want to be able to have this effect on people. How can I do this?
That's cool.
Because they have this effect on me. I'm a nurse. What can I do here? And so then I just started like Googling nursing and meditation or nursing and yoga or like all these things. Mm-hmm. Like nothing was coming up. And then I found what was called nurse coaching. And I found it and we were actually on a trip back to Colorado. It was our first trip back to Colorado and I had watched something on it. And so I told him about it. I don't think I told you about it then. I'm not really sure. But as I'm listening to it and watching it, I was like, this is incredible. And my gosh, this is what I want to do. Because I was considering going back and getting my nurse practitioner.
Yeah.
I didn't want to go back to school for 3 years and taking away time from the girls and family and the money. And I actually proposed to the surgeons I was working with to help me with it. But then after I really thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, I don't want to be prescribing medications or working in a clinic or in a hospital.
Yeah.
That's not what I want to do, but I do want to be working with people somehow one-on-one. And so I brought up this idea of this certification that I found. It's called nurse coaching. It's a new specialty in nursing. And I'm trying to explain it to him. And he's just like, what? What do you want to do now? You moved us out here 7 years ago. And now where are you moving? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But he's always doing something that I'm passionate about.
You can't deter her.
You can't deter her. Just like, let me do it because there's just something within me that I just feel.
And you seem to have good instincts.
So I took the certification course and became board certified as a nurse coach. And ultimately what that is I don't coach nurses. I'm a nurse and I went through a coaching certification for nurses. And now I work with women, but during this whole process, I left my job that I was working Monday through Friday so I could have more time. So I'm back in the ER now. So I took like a little 7-8 year, maybe I was there for 7 years, I guess.
Yeah, about
seven years doing like Monday through Friday, like desk job. But now I'm back in the ER. Yep. And I'm also
That feeling
back in the ER? It's not what I was doing before. It's not like level one, level two trauma.
Okay, nice.
This is at the Post Falls ER and hospital out by Cabela's. And so it's newer and it's much slower pace. So we don't see the high, like the trauma patients or the critically sick patients. We do get some, but they're very few and far between. So if I to go back to the ER, this would be the best ER to go back to because it's not going back to a very busy, high intense. I wouldn't want to put myself back in that position because
this is better balance.
We're really trying to work on ourselves. And so through this, through just everything that we've been doing, I've been telling him for so long, like, you have this incredible story with your foot and with the fire department and the PTSD and everything that you've overcome. You have this incredible story.
And you
I would tell them that.
Story.
Yeah. But I don't think it was ever the right time for him to hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until after.
To know how strong you are, to know how beautiful, like.
Yeah, kind of have to sometimes be on the other side of things.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when you're right in it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I always thought, like, you have this incredible story.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to share it or what you're going to do, but you have an incredible story. I mean, he's just so inspiring. So a couple of years ago, he started cold plunging in our backyard with this old school, like not old school, but well, it's a DIY like garbage can in our backyard that he put
up. That's so good.
A drain on the bottom.
Uh-huh.
And I would see him. He would go in and, you know, this small little things. He would go in. He'd come out. He'd be like, "Ooh!" And I've never seen him so happy. Like, just so energetic and so much, my gosh, just like life. He'd come out of there and he would, he'd be freezing cold and he would like put our fingers on his cold body and be like, feel it. Me and the girls would be like, oh my gosh, no. But the energy and just everything that he was putting out after that was just incredible. And so after I had started my private practice, I wanted to do something and he was bringing up, we were talking about cold plunging and ultimately what I do with my cold plunge or with my business is I work on mindset and self-care and building resilience. And so we were talking about cold plunging and it clicked. Wow, that's actually, he's doing all three of those things with cold plunging. And so it was kind of why don't you try this? And so long story short, I started doing it in the backyard and
the neighbor was like this. Hey.
What? I don't think they could see, but there's bathing suits. But it was just like, gosh, he just inspired me to do that. So he was the one that started the meditation. Mm. He was the one that started us doing cold plunging and
healing
and just the support that we give one another. So listening to each other. That is definitely newer in this season that we're in right now, mm-hmm. is listening to each other's needs, which is huge. But after he had his surgery, he knew he wanted to do something. And I've always pictured him doing something with like fire again, being able to empower people as well, because he's gone through so much and he keeps rising and rising and rising above.
Well, you two are very charismatic, both of you are. So.
Thank you. And we went to this incredible conference at the beginning of the summer. It was here in Coeur d'Alene. And it was really about moving towards your mission and using your pain as your purpose, which was a huge thing for us. And since then, he's... And now he gets emotional with this, but it's a huge part of our life.
No, it is.
So after that, and kind of, I guess even before, you were kind of thinking about what you wanted to do, but he was seeing me living out my dream, my passion of wanting to work with people and coaching, more specifically women. He kind of liked that idea. And
yeah.
We've now kind of joined forces.
Mm-hmm. I love
That's
it.
Awesome.
So I have to say men need it too.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's definitely a need. And so,
in fact, I think that's like a huge gap. I don't think that a lot of men recognize that.
Right.
Yeah.
Or give themselves permission to do that.
Or,
Right.
Yeah.
Or you're too stoic to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, for whatever societal reasons, it's a shame. Well,
yeah,
about
so I started a coaching business.
Oh, that's amazing.
It's not necessarily strictly for men, but Casey deals with women. I'll teach whoever, but mine is also mindset kind of rising up.
Yeah.
And then a true focus of it is first responders at sending amputees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah. And so, it's great.
It's just so crazy.
What a great way to help heal.
I was just going to say that it's just so fun to hear your story and how you both have kind of worked parallel sort of and come to different awarenesses and piggybacked on each other's awareness and grown from each other. I just think that's really such a beautiful thing in relationship. And
it's built together. Where life could have torn people down, you guys built each other and build together.
So tell me what, Case, we'll start with you. What do you admire and love about Darren? I mean, what is the, what are your...
Yeah, I mean, he, this man does not give up. His determination, his will to keep going, his passion is incredible. The love that he has for me and the support that he gives me is undeniable. I mean, I come up with these crazy things. Yeah, let's move from beautiful Colorado. Yeah, and start my own private practice where many husbands would probably not be supportive with it. Yeah. He was like, yeah, go with it. Run with it. And so the love and the support,
yeah,
undeniable. Honestly. And just seeing... Yeah. After he had his surgery, I mean, this is, he got half of his foot removed. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a simple surgery. And then at this this conference that we're at, there was a 5 a.m. workout component to it on the second morning. And it was led by a Navy SEAL, an Olympic gold medalist, and another like kind of mental peak performance coach.
Peak performance coach. She's like one of the best in the world.
And there was a bunch of us out on the field and at the resort, and he's out there doing this workout with his cast on, or with his splint.
I had a walking boot.
He had a walking boot. And it was the most horrific, hardest workout I've ever done. And he's doing it one-legged. Like, I mean, just incredible. The man is a machine. I tell him all the time, your dad is a machine. It's just incredible to see. And so his business is called Ashes to Ascent. And literally, like, he's just a phoenix. He's a phoenix rising.
Yeah.
He truly is.
Incredible. And,
yeah. Gotta work on this. Yeah, thank you. All right. Do it for my family.
Yeah.
And for myself.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. But
Ashes to Ascent. Well, I mean, I just, you know, I need to get this information from you because it's something that I see my brother needing. Mm-hmm. And if my brother needs it, there are probably so many.
And your boys are in fire too.
Yeah. Yeah, they're wildland fire. My oldest son is going to U of I. He's getting a degree in fire science and forestry. Okay. And then my younger son,
Probably going to do that too?
Well, no, he's electrical engineering, but in the summers he's doing wildland fire. But I mean, they were, my son was just a part of the, was like backup for the fire, the men who were in the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, it was amazing because they went to like a day or two after everyone that was involved went to like a meeting where they discuss. So I think that was great.
I'm so glad they did.
But okay, I love to hear that. And I mean, if you can give us information now, and I'm going to get that from you later, that would be great.
But if you'd like to share more,
please do right now. Yeah.
My business is Ashes to Ascent Coaching.
Okay.
In Coeur d'Alene, and I do virtual or in person.
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
So we actually share an office space. Casey's coaching business is Blue Skies Wellness.
Ironically, cold plunge sauna therapy.
And we just kind of provide, you know, more mental performance coaching, mindset coaching.
It's not therapy, but not everybody always needs therapy.
I think someone needs someone they can relate to.
Idea. Yeah.
Exactly. Kind of couple recently, because of the incident that happened last summer with the firefighters here. It's made a huge impact on the mental health community here.
Yeah.
And there's actually a group of mental health practitioners that got together. They've been forming this for a while, but it stemmed from
the incident.
Since then, moving forward very quickly. But 10 mental health providers who have a specific focus for all first responders in 5 neighboring counties.
That's amazing.
That's so needed.
It is.
And then on top of that, which is really cool, is they have a mentor program in it. So there's seven of us who are handpicked by all these to be mentors, frontline mentors. Yeah. There's, I believe, three of us are firefighters, or I was a former firefighter, and then some in law enforcement. Okay. And so they put all this out to in every firehouse, every police station, in all these counties, to if you need to talk to someone or you just want to go get a cup of coffee, here's someone who's been through it, has seen it. Mm-hmm. You know, in my personal case relating to this, I was in an active shooter incident in Denver in 2016.
Yeah.
So have that very firsthand experience. On top of the PTSD, on top of all the firefighting, on top of all of that. And so now it's giving back to the fire department is this is what I live for.
Yeah. And I wonder, like, so much need that if this community can figure out how to do it, then you as a mentor could bring it to another community,
And hopefully just this model
and
grows.
Becomes the culture.
Yeah. It does need to become the culture.
Yeah.
It does.
Physically, he probably, we were talking about this the other day, physically he probably could go back to fire if he wanted to, but he'd have to go through an academy and all of that. But
I could.
But I think this is the way he wants to be able to be a part of the fire.
I think there's such a need. Mm-hmm. So I love that there are people like you are interested in helping.
Yeah. We need to start taking care of our caretakers.
Absolutely.
As a society, we are killing them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a society that the need is growing.
And there's very few first responders who are like getting the support they need.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely. So, and now, Darren, I want to hear what you admire and love about Casey.
She stole my thunder, but her tenacity, her will to just go after what she wants, and she doesn't stop.
Gets up on common.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I feel the love every day. Not just me, but towards our girls, towards our family, towards everyone. Yeah. I just love her passion and everything she brings. So, yeah. Kind of come full circle and seeing the.
Yeah.
You know, how it, you know, everyone's relationship has struggles. Everyone's falls apart at times, and ours didn't. Just barely by a thread for
it was
time and time again.
So what advice would you have?
It was the ashes that were smoldering.
Yeah.
Like, we're able to light that fire again.
Absolutely.
For those people that have been through things like this, like, what would you say if you could pin it down to one thing? I know that's hard. What advice would you give?
Mine would be to have the difficult conversations.
Yes, definitely.
It's very important to be on the same page, to communicate your needs, and to be in agreement with what you want instead of just expecting, oh, well, even though he's been on for 48 hours and now I have to go to work, like, he could take care of our daughter. Just expecting that, but not knowing what somebody else has gone through.
Yeah.
And so having that open communication, because we struggled with communicating for so long. And I would say probably the past 3 years, we've really dialed in, and there's just like little paying attention, I guess, to the little signals that he puts out and not pressing him when he's in that moment, or with me, like giving each other space, but then letting them know, like, I'm here and I love you when you are ready.
I definitely agree. It's communication is everything. I mean, that's why we've made 20 years.
Congratulations.
It's crazy to look back
just
on.
Respecting each other's needs, boundaries, time.
I can honestly say that, I mean, I loved him when I married him, but I love him so much more.
Yeah. Well, it's the time, it's the work, it's all of those things, and appreciating.
Yeah.
And how much you guys have both grown.
Choosing to always choose each other again. And having, and I think it's like what you said, being willing to talk about it when it gets hard and to choose the relationship again.
Yes. That was a big part of struggles too, is he felt that I didn't, long time ago, that I didn't put him first after other things. But you have to go through the difficult conversations.
Yeah.
You have to let the other person know what is bothering you. What are you struggling with? So you can be on the same page, so you can support and love
one. Well, you guys also have respect for each other too. Like when, you know, when someone shows up with their vulnerability, you're respecting it, not defending yourself.
Yeah.
And you're hearing each other. And that's why you guys are building such a strong, beautiful thing.
Oh, thank you.
And I love that you guys were willing to be vulnerable and share that. Because I think it will resonate with other people.
Yeah.
Great.
And that's, I mean, that's what we're here for.
I like to put to brains and people who are figuring things out and say, like, teach us. Let us be your grasshoppers.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, we're constantly figuring this out. We're constantly pivoting. We're transitioning together all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
And this isn't working. Let's try this.
I think a lot of people are in that boat, you know, so I think it really helps for them to hear, gosh, I'm not alone in this.
Yeah.
And it's possible.
Yeah.
Communication.
Sometimes that's what we need to hear is like, someone did it, I can do it.
Yeah. Communication is like it perfect. It makes
it possible.
So, yes.
And then just really, again, the names of your companies, if people want to reach out for help again, just say it one more time and then say it.
So my company is Blue Skies Wellness, and I help women, mostly that focus on their families and their careers and are ready to focus on themselves. And then.
And my company is Ashes to Ascent Coaching. And I am a mindset and mental performance coach, and also work specifically with first responders, vets, and amputees.
Nice. And then we are My Perfect Romance, and you can find us at www.myperfectromance.com.
Yep. We're here to connect the world.
One couple at a time.
Yes. All right.
Thank
you, guys.
Thanks,
XOXO.
Bye.
Bye.